All right, I think we already do have a call. Caller on line one, you have a question or a comment for the candidates?
Yes, I do. Thank you. Thank you for running, both you guys, Jonathan and Mr. Samuelson. I'm an independent voter. I'm not registered Republican or Democrat. I'm a commercial fisherman in Sitka. I've been a fisherman in Sitka for over 35 years, fishing out of Sitka. And I'm really concerned with the lack of infrastructure here in this town for the fishing fleet. I'm also concerned, very concerned, about the lack of ferry service for Sitka. And I wanted to know, hear from both you guys on your vision on how, one, to get more ferry service to Sitka that, you know, we like one day a week, and how we can get a marine service center here in Sitka. There is a small haul out, but he can only handle about 10 boats at a time. And we have the largest small boat fleet in Alaska. And it's just totally inadequate for this fleet. Personally, I'm going to Ketchikan to get some work done this winter. And last time I got work done, I had to go to Wrangell. I'd like to be able to get some done in Sitka. I just would like to hear your vision on that. Thank you, and I'll get off the line.
Okay, thanks. So we'll put that maybe first to Jonathan to start. The first part of the question, better ferry service to Sitka, and I think most communities, probably all communities in the district, would probably echo that sentiment. What can you do to improve ferry service?
Sure. So as I heard it, sort of two-part question. Number one, marine services, and number two,
we'll take we can take it however order you want to do it.
Okay, double-decker sandwich. So on the marine services in Sitka, I mean, there's a huge need. There's a huge supply-demand discrepancy across Southeast Alaska with marine services, and the success of Wrangell really speaks to how there's huge pent-up demand for people being able to haul out their boats, but there was no supply, nobody providing those services. And Wrangell has more business than they can handle, so there's room for growth. And to the caller who called in, as far as Sitka, huge small boat fleet, I know there's a lot of action with the Gary Paxton Industrial Park, and there's a proposal by Silver Bay Seafoods to construct a large-scale haul-out facility, and that's that proposal is being adjudicated by the Industrial Park Board, and I'm optimistic that something happens out there because that would be good for Sitka, good for Southeast, for the entire Southeast fishing fleet. So I'm excited with the potential there, and looks like progress on that front, but I couldn't agree more that there's huge demand and huge need, and that needs to be met. As far as ferry service, it's really a regional issue, and I'll sort of broaden the answer and the question just because of the listening audience that we have tonight. And with ferries, there's a little bit of progress. The two Alaska class ferries are set to be constructed in Ketchikan, and those ferries are going to run in Lynn Canal, which, you know, on its face doesn't really mean a lot for someone in Sitka, someone in Petersburg, someone in Tenneke. However, the sort of indirect consequence of that is when those ferries are running in Lynn Canal, that's going to free up ferries that are currently serving Lynn Canal to serve other communities, and should result in an increase of service across the region. As sort of a corollary to that, I have a little bit of concern with the sort of financial transportation future that we're looking at in terms of federal dollars are disappearing. The new Federal Transportation Authorization Act results in less money to Alaska and really every other state. You know, the federal government is tightening its budget, and for states such as Alaska that get a lot of money from the feds, especially for transportation, that affects our pocketbook in terms of transportation investments, both ferry service and roads and maintenance. And so we're sort of faced with a choice, and I think we really need to carefully weigh new road construction that's going to have a high operations and maintenance cost. You know, the Juneau Access Road, it gives me some pause. You know, it's going to be some significant fraction of $1 billion to build. And in the new draft EIS that was just released, the projected maintenance costs are north of $20 million a year. Plus, you still have to run a ferry, so you're not necessarily saving money there. In fact, you're not saving money there. And so there's going to be this sort of sucking sound of maintenance and operations dollars that are going to go to maintain this avalanche chute-ridden highway corridor, and that means, you know, streets in Petersburg, streets in Sitka, state rights of way across the region are going to suffer, as well as other transportation financial needs, like the ferry system, and that means, you know, more ships that are laid up. So, you know, I think you need to look at transportation holistically and really critically weigh what investments we're going to make and what consequences that's going to have to other types of transportation service like the ferry system, especially given that the state is looking at a really tough budget situation going into the decade that we're about to enter.
Stephen, we'll put the question to you. The first part of it, why don't you deal with the Marine Services specifically for Sitka, and then ferry second, if you would.
Yeah, no problem. And the first thing that popped in my mind when you said that is you're not finding the service in Sitka, but you tried very hard to keep local dollars local or Southeast regional, taking your boat to Ketchikan, taking it to Wrangell. I really appreciate that it wasn't automatically running down to Washington, and I applaud you for that, for being thinking as local as possible. That being said, chain of the way that these things would go through is through the capital budget, or excuse me, through capital projects that you'd be doing within your community and with your assembly. We've done a lot of projects to really boost our harbor here in Petersburg, and we see a lot of benefits continuously. We are having the drive down ramp. Sitka was used a lot in that example on why we should be having a drive down ramp. We also, with our harbor master, Glo DeBoer, Glorianne DeBoer, and so many others, our harbor facility, and throughout all of Southeast, they're always trying to push that forward, and I appreciate that. Working with Allen Marine, as I have a lot in the past, if it's a larger vessel, and I'm not sure what you are running, but I do know that I've been told that they're willing to accommodate as many people as they can, not just themselves. And I have seen other ships come down from north. They have a real good facility there, and you know that. Keeping it local is incredibly important. So just keep on pushing on that, but it's another reason why it's important to have somebody that is in the majority and really looking forward and looking at what we're doing with that, with the money that's coming along. Because if it was on a capital list that's in Sitka, and I will never be in a position to tell you what you need, I'm just there to listen and make sure that I have a clear understanding of what you need me to know so that I can bring that information to the table and get our message heard and work on that as hard as we can. So it's never going to be perfect. Every boat is different, and we just need to make sure that we're having an open conversation and moving forward. Now, when we move from that, we can get into the transportation and the ferry system. And we know it's our highway. That's what gets used the most. When these Alaska-class ferries were being built, I saw the writing on the wall right away because I knew they were going directly to Lynn Canal. And anybody that understands boats, you know you can't do 14.5 knots and get from Juneau to Petersburg, Juneau to Sitka in one day. So when it was in the beginning being drawn out as these ferries are going to be day boats and they're going to be a good thing for everybody, I didn't buy into that at all because I knew we were going to be missing out and we were never going to see those boats down here. On the flip side of that, I also felt, well, if they're going to go up into Lynn Canal where they make most sense to have them, then we are going to get better service throughout Southeast Alaska and down here in the regions that we need them because we're on islands, they're landlocked. So these things are real important and always on my mind. I've talked to Captain Falvey a lot about it. I go to the meetings with Andy Hughes when he was here. We talked about the 20-year plan, and I wasn't very impressed with it, but I am an incredibly huge supporter of that ferry system. I want to see it succeed, and I believe that we can make that happen. There's a lot of good things. Growing up here, using it for school functions, and just so many different avenues that ferry system needs to be in place. And roads are not always the answer, but I am a person that believes that we can put roads where it's appropriate, and we need ships where you can't get roads.
Part of the role of a legislator from Southeast seems to be an advocate for the ferry service elsewhere in the state with the other people who represent other parts of the state. How would you make that argument? How can you frame that argument of the importance of the ferry system and funding that into the future to the rest of the legislative body who's looking at a tight budget? I'll put that question to Stephen to start this one.
I think the best way is because of being here for so long and knowing the system, being around boats all of my life, I can't tell you that I know how to build a ferry schedule, and I certainly can't tell you how to build a ship. I can tell you what I want on board. You know, I can tell you those kinds of things. It doesn't really matter. Those types of things I could get into. One thing that I don't understand is why all the ships have to go lay up at the same time in the winter. It takes the road away. It takes the whole idea of getting us moving around. Why don't they have it on a schedule where they're laying one up through the summer, and then they bring that one out, they put another one in, and through the year you're just one or two might be out of service, but the majority is still running. It seems like you get past that tourist season and you get the Taku and the Malaspina running around and everything else is just tied up, you know. The Lakani is going. They do there, but I think that Peggy Wilson, when she, or Representative Wilson, and she had a real good plan, and I really like what she had with the ATIF, the Alaska Transportation Infrastructure Fund, and taking money and reappropriating that so that it's almost like another permanent fund for just transportation, taking money, put it into a fund, getting off the interest and working through that. I think that's a good way. But it's also forging those relationships and going forth, explaining and listening to the crew. You know, I see Andy Hughes a lot. I see, and I'm not picking on him by any means. I think he does a fantastic job with all of the transportation issues. But the crew knows their ship. It's just like any skipper that owns a Saner or whatever they may be operating, they know their own boats. So I think there needs to be more of a dialogue between the men and women that actually operate these ships, as well as the people that are trying to make decisions on how to keep them running. Okay.
Jonathan, how about you? How do you make the argument to your fellow legislators that of the importance of the ferry system and funding that into the future?
A lot of it comes from, I think, a sort of a political strategy. And, you know, in the legislature, you sort of have a divide as or bigger than the divide between D's and R's is the split between rural and urban Alaska. And, you know, Southeast Alaska is, you know, even if we don't think of Juneau as rural, effectively in this sort of coastal block. And you've got the rail belt on the other side. And I think you need to forge sort of effective coalitions to be able to advocate rural issues that matter to rural and coastal Alaska. And I mean, the Bush Caucus is, I think, a hugely important vehicle to that end. It's a bipartisan group of legislators, D's and R's, working together on issues of common concern. And put together, we, the Bush Caucus, can effectively make or break certain issues in the legislature. For instance, you know, school vouchers. There was a proposal to amend the Constitution to allow public money to go to private schools, much to the detriment of rural public districts. And the Bush Caucus stuck together and said no, and that didn't pass. And so, you know, that's an example of where when the Bush Caucus, when we stick together, we're able to help control the debate and the dialogue. And on a ferry system, which affects all of coastal Alaska from southeast to Prince William Sound, the Kodiak Archipelago, and down into the Aleutians, you've got a similar issue of mutual concern to rural and coastal Alaska. And so effectively working within a coalition, D's and R's, working together to try to advance these issues of common concern, an issue like the ferry system and funding for the ferry system, I think is a hugely important way to approach an issue like this and help the district that you represent and help rural and coastal Alaska.
Okay. Our phone number here is 888-772-3808. That's 888-772-3808. Give us a call. We'll put you on the air. You can ask your question, make a comment, and hear about what you want to talk about. We have a bunch of questions submitted already by listeners, and I'd like to get to a few of those if we can here, and also some put together by the news departments as well. And a couple listener questions. One of them